Hey friends, you're tuning in to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Welcome to another episode of Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, and I'm excited because this episode I get to chat with my mama, Kathy Wood. Hi, Mom.
Hello, Wit.
Thanks for doing this. I know you really don't want to. I appreciate it. I thought it would be cool with Mother's Day coming up, slash anytime anybody were to listen to this, to just get to ask you about motherhood and your thoughts on it, because you have been a mom for 38 years.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah.
Crazy to think about. And I just think that just your own story of being a mom is helpful for those who are listening, maybe to feel like they're not doing the best, or they don't know what they're doing, or just the world of parenthood can be exhausting and crazy and make moms feel insecure about how they're doing it. So I appreciate you, even though I know you don't know stuff like this. So I wanted to know, when you had my older brother, did you feel like you were ready to have kids? And is that something that you had grown up desiring, to be a mom?
Well, in thinking about this question, I was thinking I can't really answer that without saying a little bit about my mom. Mm. Because, you know, she was 18 when she got pregnant with me.
Wild.
And had me when she was 19. And then, I don't even know, 2-3 years later, she and my dad divorced. They were just too young.
Right.
And I would say that was such a factor, but she just really did not have a capacity for a child.
Yeah.
So I always felt like I just didn't matter. Mm. And I think it was just, there were so many things, but she was too young. Mm-hmm. And she was about her. Mm-hmm. She wasn't about me. Mm-hmm. And so as I was growing up, did I always want to be a mom? I just always knew I would be a mom. I didn't think about that. Did I want, did I not want to?
Yeah.
But what I just did not want to be selfish. That was my thing. Hmm. And I don't, you know, judge her or any of that.
Right.
I did not want to have kids if I couldn't be about them. Hmm. So, we were married 8 years. Mm-hmm. Before we even started thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I kid you not, I woke up one day, I said, I am ready. Mm. There's something, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I've been about me, you know, and yeah. I now want, I'm ready. I want to do that thing, mm-hmm, where you just, you know, you give your life, mm, to your kids. I was ready for it.
Yeah.
And we did immediately.
Yeah.
We got pregnant like immediately, and I was so ready. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, the thing that was super helpful was we were dorm parents, mm-hmm, at Life Bible College.
Right.
So we had all kinds of young people around us. You know, they were in Bible college, so they were like growing and wanting to learn. And I was in music, and you know, with the music students, So it really was a great environment. Like, not only did I have a lot to give Ben, he just had like all these people, young people, you know. I taught music, and I'd have to go to a class, and Dad was at Fuller at the time, so our schedules were real flexible, and there was just kind of always somebody to like take Ben. I had to go teach a class, or he would go like sit with the drummer while I had a rehearsal. And it was like, it was a good time. I was ready, and it was a good time for to have a kid. Actually,
did you feel, because you had me around my age now, was there was there like pressure and fear to ever like get pregnant sooner because of, you know, when people talk about age and all that kind of stuff? Or you just knew like, no, like I want to be married and have this time, and then
no, I honestly, no, it was, there was no pressure to do it sooner. Although with you, you know, the doctors said I was too old, so I had to have special tests, and and then, you know, there was that whole thing that you are probable Down syndrome and all those issues. So no, I, there was no pressure, except that because of what I went through in pregnancy, I could not have another child after you.
For sure. You had some, you had two non-pregnancies for sure.
And then what I would say about you, you know, as I thought about it all and just some of your struggles and all that you've gone through, I mean, you think about it that, well, so we went, we moved to Pomona, a place I hated. Like, I saw it and I went, oh no, I am not coming here. This is not what God has for me. Little did I know it was what God had for me. I just thought he was like angry at me and making me and punishing me. And that's why I deserved to live in Pomona. And so just naturally I was unhappy to be there. And then the church that we were pastoring, so that's why we went to Pomona, and the church that we were pastoring was about, there were about 20 people, and they were all elderly. So we went from
life of the party,
college kids all around all the time, to a house with bars where I actually was afraid every night. And yeah, and elderly people that they didn't really want to hang out. So went from a real vibrant to a lonely, a quite lonely place for a few years until I sort of navigated it.
And I'm sure that was wild when, as being a mom of little kids, because that's the time in your life when you need extra community and extra support. I definitely feel like that's a common theme now. I hear a lot of moms talking about is just like wishing they had more community with people, you know, who had kids their age. And I know that's like a whole struggle.
I think community around you is probably one of the most important things. I don't care what size house you have, big, small, if you're an apartment, I just... I think the thing is, like, with you guys that I really am grateful for is that being pastors, we were, I mean, we always did have a lot of people in our lives. All kinds of people, by the way, you know. Easy people, great people, difficult people. And I just felt that was just so healthy for you guys.
So then how did you handle, because I thought you always did a good job, or at least when I was younger in elementary school, like, I always think of you being around. How did you handle that work-mom balance Because I know a lot of moms really struggle with that and wanting to still pursue their passions and careers, but also wanting to be present and be around for their kids. Was that hard for you, or did you have to be super intentional about it?
Well, first of all, being a mom and feeling guilty,
right,
they go together.
For sure.
They just do.
Yeah.
I always say there's nothing I had more self-doubt about than being a mom. Mm. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, when you guys were in grade school, first of all, it was down the street.
Right.
And my schedule was really flexible.
Yeah.
So I could always walk to school with you every day. And then I could be home, mm-hmm. like walk you home. Mm-hmm. I could do my work. I mean, for a while I worked part time.
Yeah.
So, yes, I always felt guilty.
Gotcha.
Always.
Yeah.
About what I did, should I have done it that way? Should I have said it that way? Am I too strict? Am I too easy? All of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the work, should I not work? Mm-hmm. But I really think because it was flexible and because it was just, our church was close.
Right.
Everything was close.
Yeah.
So that did really help, mm-hmm. I think.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Well, and I appreciate too, because for those who don't know, I am a pastor's kid, because you guys are pastors. I don't feel like you guys made us like have to live this. We're at church every day. And like, it was definitely a part of our family culture. And like, but I enjoyed going to church, you know, cause all my friends were there, and like, that was a lot of, but it wasn't this like stifling, oh my gosh, I have to go to church again. Mm. Like, and I'm sure I had attitudes at times, you know, but, I did really appreciate that. Cause I know a lot of other pastors' kids who end up going wild and like absolutely hating, you know, church or hating Christianity because their parents really tried to shove it down and force it down their throats. And I mean, I remember in high school when I told you guys I was an atheist, because I was like, yeah, I felt like I just wanted to rebel just because, but I wasn't necessarily, I don't even think I believed I was one. I just wanted to like feel like I had the opportunity to be something different. And do something on my own. And I'm sure you guys were concerned or whatever, you know, praying or whatever, but I felt like you were like, okay, you know, like this is okay. But like on Sunday we go to church. And so, but I didn't feel like it was always like, you have to believe this, you know, because also the ways in which you guys lived was very congruent in what you taught too. So it's not like you were one way at church and then at home you were, you know, the opposite. So I know for some people or for some kids, that can be a really hard thing to like, you know, religion is a big part of the family, but nobody really in the family reflects the values that they say, you know, we should follow and stuff. So I've always appreciated that. Cause yeah, I never felt, cause then I wanted to be a Christian on my own. Like that was a faith that I built up on my own and became my own value rather than like, I have to do this cause my parents, you know, are making me. Now, yes, did dad want to, you know, read the Bible every morning together? And I would be like, no, absolutely not. And like, try different things? Yes, for sure. But, you know, it wasn't to a way to where it still turned me off from like wanting to, you know, pursue God and pursue faith. So I do appreciate that. But so I feel like you did a good job at balancing like life and, you know, we were so active with our friends and, you know, so our life was, it felt well-rounded in a way to which I knew you worked, but I also knew you were home a lot too. And when you were home, sometimes you would be working, but then you would still be present and, you know, so I feel like you were able to navigate that season well, but.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm so glad. No, actually, I think that time you're talking about being an atheist and stuff, that didn't bother me at all. It didn't stress me out. Mm-hmm. When you did the Wow Jam, I was more upset about that because it was like, because you left water polo, right. You like quit. You're like, no, I'm not doing it. And I just felt like, oh, if you're not involved at school,
right?
Because you didn't love school.
Right. I hated it.
And, you know, if you go do this wow gym, you are not. So I, that was like more of a concern than you talking about being an atheist.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. That, yeah. But, you, and I mean, you guys still let me do that, which I appreciate. I don't always know, yeah, if that was the best choice for me to make, but mm-hmm. I also,
yeah.
I hate it. I'd hate, you know, and it's interesting now thinking back of like the times I got injured and all that stuff. Like I hated water polo because of all the pressure I felt. Like I knew yeah. I was good, but I was really scared that I was good. Like I hated every time my coach would be like, okay, starters for this game, Whitney. I was like, ugh, I hate, and I knew I was going to start because I was good, but it was so much pressure.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. you know, now looking back, I think, you know, Wow Jam was a, like an inner city ministry that I really loved and got to do with friends. And honestly, it was just like, it was fun. There were some cute boys. And I also like really agreed with like the mission of what was going on. So I was like, this feels easier and like nicer. So I really think that is why I quit water polo like that 1 year. Cause it was just like, it's too much pressure. I'm scared of all that's going on. And then when I went back to try and play, that's when I got injured again. So a lot of that really does make sense now, you know, looking back.
Well, and I feel bad that I didn't know. We didn't understand the pressure that you felt about it, you know?
I didn't either at the time.
Okay.
I mean, I did, but it was more overwhelmed. Like when I feel pressure, I just get very overwhelmed. So I knew I was overwhelmed. I knew like I didn't necessarily feel like I fit in with the girls and like, I was like, then this must not be right for me because it just feels so hard and really just scary, you know? So, and I think now that I think about it back then, it was that fear of success too, of like, if I do get really good at this, then like, I have to keep it up, you know, even though it was, I was like, I would love to do this. Like, this would be an amazing, you know, thing to pursue.
I'm going to move really quick.
Is your laptop, is your iPad about to die?
There. Because I couldn't hear you.
Oh.
How's this?
It's so good. For those watching on YouTube are going to get dizzy. But it's great. I don't even want to edit that part out. So thinking back to when you became a mom, so they actually just put out some studies, which I find really interesting, showing that women actually do become like completely different people when giving birth, like cellularly, like there's actually like such an incredible change that they like, they almost say like you become like a completely different person, which is really interesting. Cause I think moms for years have been like, I just feel so different. It's like, it's cause you are like, you're actually internally, there's like been so much that, you know, has gone on. But for you, like, how did you feel like becoming a mom changed you?
Well, I wrote some really good things down and I don't have them with me right now. I just think that, I mean, first of all, giving birth to these amazing little babies, like, it's like, if you, like any accomplishment I've ever made, there's like nothing that compares to that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I know I didn't do it. I'm just saying they came from me. You guys came.
You did. Your body did that.
Amazing, amazing creation. So first of all, a sense of, I think this deep completeness, this deep accomplishment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like another human being, like, you know, people have projects and like give birth to these movements and organizations, but to give birth to a life, a human being. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely, there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Yeah.
So yeah, just a deep sense of completeness. And then now I get to give myself to this human.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then you mentioned like you didn't want to be selfish. Did you feel like that made you less of a selfish
person? Yeah. I mean, I did. It was just more, just a different focus. Mm-hmm. Not just about me and Dad and where are we going to go and what all that. It's like now this life that we help form and shape and mm-hmm. guide. And my own mom didn't really have much to give.
Mm, right.
But I always say I learned about mothering a little bit mm-hmm. from my grandma. Mm-hmm. And it's not like she even, I mean, yeah, she did meals. She loved to do meals. She was a homemaker. I never really cared about being a homemaker. I was mm-hmm. not.
Right.
It's just not something that I wanted to do. I mean, my mom always said, what a waste of time that was. Mm-hmm. You have a brain. You should use your brain. Why would you waste it in the kitchen? My grandma was much different than that. But more than all of that, she gave me such a sense of, like, peace and comfort and like, this foundation. Mm-hmm. And I just was excited that I got to be and give that mm-hmm. to you too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. What was the hardest part about being a mom? And then what's one of the best parts?
I think the hardest part was just the whole,
you're still a mom.
Is but it's not, you know, it's so different now.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the things about it is you always have to be changing. Mm. You always have to be, because as you guys grow, you as a mom have to grow. But I always say, you know, how easy Ben was. I think the hardest thing has been just wanting to know you mm-hmm. and then adding something to you mm-hmm. that you needed mm-hmm. and figuring that out mm-hmm. was really hard. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of struggled from junior high to college mm-hmm. and I have that little book that you gave me so I was just always like, I don't know, how do I reach Whitney to be more than we're, you know, just sort of keep her safe or keep her out of trouble, but add.
Mom, can you scoot? You're totally out of the shot.
Oh, right here.
You're better now. It's been half your face for a while and then you walked out. Just say no, come back. Come back. Okay. Right? Perfect.
Okay. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
In order to really be able to guide you and love you, I needed to know you and you particularly. No, you know, we've talked about this. You just stayed so closed. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the hardest.
Right.
I remember going to one of your water polo dinners and just riding in the car, not talking. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to think of what can I say that would get her to talk. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah.
And then we were at the dinner and then you were all talkative with people and And then I heard things about you just from others. And I'm like, how do I know this? How do I learn this? How do I have this relationship with her?
For sure. Yeah. I was definitely a brat to you. For sure. And such a people pleaser that I knew how to turn it on when I needed to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know.
And I didn't really call it a brat. I didn't think of you as a brat.
Yeah.
I just thought that there was like a key that would unlock the door.
Yeah.
That I just didn't have.
Right. I get that. For sure. For sure. Well, yeah. I think I was a brat in general. No, I was so... I don't even know what I was. I hated that time in life in general. So high school was like my least favorite time of life and most confusing and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely went through some very intense depression in high school. So I wouldn't, I don't know how anyone should have handled it.
Mm-hmm.
What's some of the best things about getting to be a mom?
My goodness, just like sharing like the doing stuff together, I think. I had a list, like the Rose Bowl parade, going to the Rose Bowl parade. Or
every year for everyone listening, every year my mom goes like a psychopath and she's on the parade route in Pasadena for the Rose Bowl for New Year's.
Yes.
And I think you're crazy because it gets down to like what, 40 degrees sometimes? Like it's so.
Oh, 1 year, 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's crazy to me. But yes. It is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, doing those things together, just sharing, sharing time, but experiences, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because I am a doer. So actually, I mean, not just fun things. I mean, planning things together, putting on parties, or we have Dad's 70th coming up. So that'll be another something to put on. But just like being together, honestly, mm-hmm. is at this point in life mm-hmm. is such a joy because we're someone we don't have to perform for.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can just be.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Doing music together, I mean, that is
right.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you're a grandma.
Yes.
It's so fun. And it's fun getting to.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, but you know what? There's like pressure with that because I know that my grandma was really, truly saved my life.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
So there's kind of that pressure of like, I got to really be something for my grandkids. Yeah, they don't need me like I needed my grandma.
Right.
So I have to keep telling myself that.
Right. Yeah. They don't need to be saved from, at least not
right. right. Yeah.
When they're teenagers, they'll have it soon.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this wasn't that painful, was it?
No.
See, look at you. Look at you.
I don't know how it ended up. I can't.
For those on YouTube, they'll get a little dizzy sometimes, but for those listening, it's great. If you were to have any words of wisdom, if you were meeting with moms who were just like, I just don't feel... Oh, you're moving again.
I was thinking I might want to sit for this last part.
Yes, it's a traveling podcast. For any moms, just wisdom or like any wisdom you wish had been imparted on you when you were starting.
Well, I think the whole thing of self-doubt and guilt.
Yeah.
I think it just comes with the territory. I really do. Maybe other moms aren't quite as unsure as I was, but it's like, you don't know if that was the right thing until years later.
Yeah.
Like, was I too firm? Was I too lenient?
Right.
Did I, you know, all of those things you don't know for a long time. So I think you have to really obviously pray daily throughout the day. And as you make decisions, just, Lord, help me make the right decision, and then leave it there.
Right.
And as best you can, not just continually questioning and second guessing yourself. And the other thing I would say is, it's not a bad thing to not have a lot of money. It really isn't. We didn't have a lot. You guys didn't have a lot of opportunities like others. You didn't have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't ever think that that is an issue. I think people who have less and kind of have to make do, I think that's super healthy. Super healthy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't get to go on these amazing trips or, just drive this or wear this or go to this. I think it's the truly, like, simple and less is really good.
Yeah. That's good. Well, thanks, Mama.
Thank you, Whit.
Appreciate you taking time.
I appreciate you asking
me. Going on our video road trip together.
I have to show you this book.
Oh, yeah.
This book you gave me, I don't know how many years ago. And it has all these different things, what I love about my mom. Honestly, as this Mother's Day comes up, I would say to everybody, this is really the best thing you could ever give your mom.
Yeah. Or you can go to the Hollywood Bowl.
We saw
some of our favorite comedians the other day.
That was tops.
Yes.
Definitely tops.
That was good.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. But this is second.
That's second.
Second best.
For sure. For sure.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.